Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquis and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it off.
Welcome. You know what day it is and you know where you're at. So it is time to get ready. Are you ready for the best 2 hours of your day? Starts right now, right here on The Balance. Hey, welcome back. It's been an exciting couple of weeks, has it not, here in Indianapolis? You know, I love... And I know we're a national show, so let me paint the picture here. We flagship in the greatest city in the world. I literally mean that. And yes, we're better than Chicago. We're better than L.A. We're better than Vegas. You know where we're at? We're right here in Indianapolis, Indiana. That's where we flagship from, right here at the Balance Studios. And we have had us one heck of a month. And we have just... it's been a whirlwind. I tell you what, I needed to recoup on Monday. I think I finally have my voice back, so all's good there. But, what a great month of May we had. And an exciting time at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Of course, we had the first annual, or we're going to call it annual because it's going to go on, because, you know, what a success the very first Grand Prix of Indianapolis was. And then to turn around and just literally turn the road course out at Indianapolis Motor Speedway into the traditional oval course that we've grown to love over the years, and get ready for the Indianapolis 500, and then pull off the most exciting finish with the Indianapolis 500. You cannot tell me there's a better city that can offer what we've had to offer. And, you know, to make my point and to solidify my point, on race day, and they don't do this at the other races, only at the Indianapolis 500, they have a red carpet. And celebrities from all over come and walk down the red carpet and go in there to Pagoda to watch the greatest spectacle in sports, and that is the Indianapolis 500 by far. And how exciting it was. Well, let me tell you what, yours truly, El Presidente, on the red carpet. We got those interviews, and I must admit, there were some interviews that we weren't able to get on. For example, interviewed Mark Cuban, had a great conversation with Mark Cuban. That is not ready to be played yet. We've got some difficulties there, but that's fine. We're going to get that fixed. We are going to get that on, hopefully yet this show. If not, I promise you, just as a makeup, I'll get you that Mark Cuban interview, because it was really a good interview. And I kind of want to play it anyway a little bit later when we get closer to the Donald Sterling conversation. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Donald Sterling is back in the news. We're going to be talking... again, about Donald Sterling. Did I not lay the law down and say that I was absolutely freaking tired of talking about Donald Sterling? Well, I guess that doesn't really matter in the world that we live in today, because it just never stops. It never stops. So, yeah, we're going to have a billion-dollar conversation about Donald Sterling, about the Indiana Pacers. Did they make it? Did they beat the Heat? Did they go on? Well, we're going to get into that conversation, and as well as the NBA Finals. Also, some exciting news going on in the NHRA, Courtney Force. And by the way, Courtney has told me, and her people have told me, that she, we wanted to have her on really bad today, but that's my third grader best. We really wanted to have her on in really bad today. It just didn't happen. So, you know, she slammed. She is, and I love the Force family and the Force Racing. They've always, always, always been good to our show, and, you know, and it's always a pleasure to have Courtney, John, Ashley, any of the Forces on. Well, Courtney Force, and we're going to get into her conversation here in just a moment. Well, I mean, not a conversation about her, I should say, but Courtney Force really laid some groundwork for female racers in NHRA out in Kansas. So we will talk about that. Of course, we're going to start talking NASCAR. I know you, my Bubba friends, man, you can never stop beer racing and NASCAR. My redneck buddies, you know me, I'm about as redneck as they come. I love NASCAR. I love IndyCar. I just love everything that goes fast. If it's a race car, I love it. So, yes, of course, that's the next big race here in Indianapolis is the Brickyard. Of course, we've got a few weeks to prepare for that. But in the meantime, NASCAR is out at the Monster Mile in Dover, Delaware. So we're going to talk about that. Danica, yeah, we're going to get into some Danica conversation. So all I can tell you, really, this is the fastest hour in radio right here, because we're going to be talking about racing for the next hour. My name is Saul Marquis, El Presidente. This is The Balance. We'll be right back right here on The Balance Radio Network.
Charged intoxication, just a speed junkie on wheels, but that's just me, it's just me.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
You know, after a long day here at the Balance Radio Studios, one of the things I like to do most is just to sit back, relax, and enjoy a nice cigar and a great cocktail. One of my favorite places to do that is Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mike and Tom have the setup for you there. I'm going to tell you what, they've got a walk-in humidor, cigars, pipes, tobacco, the way you like it. You like it mild, they got it for you. You like it strong and bold, they got something for you. They got a fully stocked bar with local drafts, a very relaxing lounge, a full service kitchen with a delicious, delicious menu, monthly cigar tasting events. You can play Golden Tee for free. Bring your laptop, relax with a nice cigar and the cocktail the way you like it. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mr. B's Cigar Box is the place you want to go to unwind. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Very easy to find. 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. That's 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. 317-272-6900. The guys out at Mr. B's Cigar Box are waiting for you. What are you waiting for?
I'm J.B. Bernstein. I'm a sports agent.
Hey.
Who's that?
She's my neighbor. Not my type.
Why? Because she's not a model.
Yeah, stay away from that.
Right now, I'm on the verge of a huge break.
Without this deal, we're done. What's going on here? Don't tell me you signed a contract with these guys.
It's just business.
And guess what? We're out of money. I mean, I don't know what else to do, J.B.
Hey, how fast are they pitching cricket?
I think I cracked this. It's called Million Dollar Arm. We find the first Major League Baseball player from India.
Like being on the road?
Words cannot express.
Ray, how are you going to know if anyone can throw if you keep your eyes shut all day?
I can hear it.
Really?
Ah. That was about a 43.
Bingo.
We have our finalists.
to America, boys.
Okay. All right, guys.
Who is that? Is she a servant? She's a beautiful servant.
We can't train somebody who has never picked up a baseball. It's insane.
Okay, so how's it going?
Baseball is very hard.
This is Major League Baseball, not some social experiment.
You're not ready for this kind of pressure.
This is business.
Don't be a sideshow.
These guys are not ready for a pro tryout.
Their chances fall between slim and none.
Are you okay?
These kids, they're my last best shot.
But they're also just a couple of great kids. Kids. I mean, they're far from home.
They need to see that you care.
Wow.
This whole alternative family thing looks good on you.
See this, partner? Boom.
We've got a major league tryout.
Are you messing with us?
No, I'm not messing with you. You got a tryout. All right, go ahead. Say it.
Did you kiss Miss Brenda?
No. She kissed me.
Oh!
See, I'm not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports. Bart, Bart rides up in the front seat today because he's a good guy at sports.
He's a demon on wheels. He's a demon and he's gonna be chasing after someone. He's gaining on you, so you better look alive. He's busy revving up the powerful Mach 5. And when the odds are against him and there's dangerous work to do, bet your life's eraser. See it through. Go Speed Racer, go Speed Racer, go Speed Racer, go! He's up and flying as he guns a car around the track. He's jamming down the pedal like he's never coming back. Adventure's waiting just ahead! Go Speed Racer, go Speed Racer, go Speed Racer, go!
You know what? I probably should have dumped out of that a little bit sooner, go to that. But I'll tell you what. Does that not take you back to Saturday morning with Coco Pops in front of the TV and watching some Saturday morning cartoons? Speed Racer. I'll tell you what. You got to admit, that was a classic cartoon. Absolutely. I miss Speed Racer. Well, I'm going to have to find it on Netflix or somewhere. There's some old episodes of Speed Racer. Well, I'll tell you what, we did a lot of speed racing here in Indianapolis this past week. As you heard me talking in my open monologue, that Indianapolis can really pull off a party. Can really pull off. It's more than a race. It's a lifestyle here in Indianapolis. And you know what? It's an Indianapolis thing. You don't get it. You don't understand. But I'm going to tell you what, it was exciting. One of the most, outside of the actual race and, you know, getting to be a part of that, one of the most exciting things that the Indianapolis 500, Indianapolis Motor Speedway does every year is the red carpet. And we're going to get into Ryan Hunter-Reay. Yes, Ryan Hunter-Reay, newsflash, Ryan Hunter-Reay run the Indianapolis 500 and pushed out Elio Castroneves, probably the most exciting finish ever in motor racing history ever, and probably for a long time to come. You're not going to see a finish like we saw this past Sunday. So there you go. There's the news of the story. Now, the fun part of this whole thing that we get to do as what we do, because, you know, it is a rough job that I have, and I admit that, you know, but I freely accept it. It's probably one of the best gigs in the world. I mean, I get to talk to people. I get to have fun. I get to talk to my minions every day. By the way, minions, if you want to join the conversation, it's just you and I today. That's right. You and I are going to hang out until 11 o'clock Eastern. Hey, thanks and welcome to all of our friends over at Indiana Talks who are listening to us right now on our Encore episode between 1 and 3. And if you're listening to us there, don't call that number because it's not going to work. 917-889-8516. I'm so excited to have you along, my minions, all for the next less than 2 hours now, but for the remainder of the show, it's you and I. So we're gonna be talking. We've got our outline, but if you've got something that's burning within your soul and within your groins that you want to talk to El Presidente about, I'm here for you. I'm here. Give me a call, 917-889-8516. Tweet me at TBalance or any of our other. By the way, real quickly, and then we'll get into some of these interviews. We are doing, and we started this on January 1st, we are doing 14,000 followers and friends in 2014. So right now, you can be a part of that. All you've got to do is go to your favorite social media outlet, Twitter or Facebook, go to @TBalance, and then click follow. If you're not already. If you are already following, right now, take your @TBalance, put it in your Facebook and in your Twitter. Guys, help us get to 14,000 followers and friends by the end of 2014. Only you can do that. You can do it. So we're counting on you. Make it happen for us. 14 and 14, go just put it in your Facebook. Hey, you guys got to listen to this show. These guys rock. And, you know, we have a lot of fun with it. So getting back on point here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, they have the red carpet. So we did some red carpet interviews. I did a lot. We really don't have time to air all of them. I'm still trying to get that Mark Cuban interview loaded. We're having some technical difficulties with that particular interview. But I tell you what we've got here, and I will break between interviews, but so that you can tell the difference between the interviews, I guess. But coming up first, a rookie, Sage Charron from Pennsylvania, missed his high school prom. He's going to talk about it here in the interview, to race in the Indianapolis 500. And certainly he had a prom thrown for him. Also, he has come on now, how many 19-year-olds can say, hey, you know who I get to hang out with? A guy by the name of Brantley Gilbert, which, by the way, Brantley Keith Gilbert, I tell you what, I enjoy talking with him, and he's part of this interview too, but he's actually, I think it's going to be on race day or whatever, but he is going to be in concert at the Brickyard. So I'm just saying, he's going to be back here in Indianapolis. Brantley Gilbert and Sage Charron on the red carpet. This was that interview.
Hi, Bradley. Tom Marquis, IndianMay.com. Sage, how are you doing? Welcome to Indianapolis 500 anyway. How's that feel?
No, it's a great feeling. You know, it's been a childhood dream of mine. Some of my oldest childhood memories are this race, so... to know that I'm going to leave the same impression on some young kids out there, and I'm being a part of this whole thing, it's an unreal feeling, and I just can't wait to get the helmet on and get that green flag.
Now you're, what, 17?
I'm 19.
19, okay. 19. Okay. I heard you missed your prom for the 500.
Yeah, I did. I missed it to qualify for the 500, but the team threw me a little mischief prom in Garage B1, so, I was crowned prom king of that.
Who was your prom date?
My girlfriend, Hannah DeFerrin, so she was there, and... it's kind of awkward because I never slow danced in my life, and there was like TV stations there and stuff, and they made us slow dance, and I was like, oh man, but we killed it there.
Well, welcome to the biggest fast dance of your life, and good luck to you out there. I heard you had a little issue with the yellow shirts standing on the wall. They thought you were just a young kid standing on the wall.
Yeah, no, after I qualified, I was all excited, of course, and I went back to the garage. I changed. I kind of went incognito, put a sweatshirt on, and I walked out to the pit wall, and I just stood up on the pit wall, and I was taking a picture with the scoring pylon behind me, just so I qualified for the 500. And music came on the intercom, so I started dancing and stuff, and then the security came down, blowing their whistle, kicked me off the pit wall. And like, hey, man, listen, I just qualified my first 500. Missed my high school prom. I'm throwing out some moves right now.
Bentley, Indianapolis 500, this is your man. What are your thoughts, buddy?
I'm having a blast. I tell you what, this is the guy right here. proud to be on the car with him. Got a lot of respect for him. Reminds me a lot of myself. He's hungry and he's ready to win. I can tell right now he's anxious to get that helmet on.
He's ready to go.
He's ready to get on the track.
So I want to ask you who your pick is. But what do you think about the Indianapolis 500 and being here and being a part of it and being on the red carpet and all the stuff that goes with it?
Hey, you know what? It's all part of a good time here. And you know, this is his big show. I'm just glad to be a part of it, man. And you know, I've been a race fan for a long time, but I've never been to an Indy race. But he was the first person I watched run. And just to see how fast and how... It's unbelievable to me, so I'm really excited about
it. So it's okay that he steals your show, then?
Oh, yeah. You can have it,
man. Good luck to you. Good luck to you, too.
Well, there you have it. Sage Karam and Brentley Gilbert. I like both. That was a fun interview to do. And, you know, of course, you know, had to get down into some serious racing. But, and by the way, outside of Dario, and that's another interview that we want to get on, but I had so many of them. I'll be honest with you. I had to just go through and sort and pick, and then some of them have, without getting too techie with you, Minions, although you're probably smarter about this stuff than I am, but there's file storages, and there's different formats in which I have to reformat and then reconvert and then bring it back to reality to you. So it's a process. I mean, you record the interview, but then you've got to put it in the software, and then you've got to reconvert it, and then you've got to equalize it, and it's, you know, it's just, like I said, it's been one of those crazy busy months. But I have some rain checks for you. So we do have some other really cool interviews. This is just the tip of the iceberg. But outside of Dario Franchitti, which was the pace car driver, Sage was the only, which is normal, by the way. Typically, you will never see the drivers out on the – talk a little bit about that. Dario Franchitti, certainly – everybody knows who Dario Franchitti is. If not, well, shame on you. But Dario Franchitti had a horrible wreck last year out in Texas and had to really step out of the race car. I mean, it was either that or die. And certainly we saw Dan Weldon die, and, you know, it was time. And then just how incredible it was for that year for Tony Kanaan to come back and win the Indianapolis 500. So a really awesome, serious interview that I did with Dario Franchitti. And one of the things he talked about, he says, you know what, I did not realize how big the opening ceremonies and the pre-race stuff was. He says, I'm zoned out, you know, I might go to the green room and take a nap, or, you know, I'm zoned out. And all of those drivers are, because they're getting ready to get on a track and go 200 and some odd miles an hour. And little did we know at the time of the red carpet, we were going to go 150 laps without a yellow, all clean racing, you know. Well, and then we had some issues, and then we had Hinchcliffe and Carpenter get into it. You know, I watched the awards banquet, and it was like they were kind of like jabbing and making fun about it. But you know, it's competitive spirit. Of course, Ed Carpenter, you know what is he? Every bit of 5'4", 5'5" on a stepladder. I don't know. He's not a big guy. Okay, certainly a good race car driver. And Hinchcliffe, you know, probably close to 6 feet tall. And, you know, he just gets out of there, and he's just flopping like a fish out of water. And he's like, blah, 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 you know. let's face it. And I think Hinch, and he said, well, I would do it. You know, 20 laps left in the Indianapolis 500. Yeah, I would do it again. That's exactly what he said. And let's face it. You can't go three wide in the Indianapolis 500. It's almost impossible without somebody being taken out. And in the situation was, you know, hey, and I don't know that I necessarily blame Hinch. He's a personal friend of mine. And also, I am, as a fan, that's my driver. So, you know, I'm glad that he took some chances and it didn't pay off, but he wrecked Ed Carpenter, and it got nasty on the track. I think we were always going to see if the helmet and the gloves were going to come off, but it all calmed down. But it was a lot of fun. But that said, they spend so much time getting ready for this race. In the pre-race, they just zone out and have to begin to concentrate on why they're there. And we're having a party. they're concentrating. So, you know, think about that. And I had an opportunity to talk with Dario about that. So that was a good interview with Sage Karam, and which was the only active driver on the red carpet with Brantley Gilbert, which, by the way, Brantley Gilbert, again, is going to be here in July for the Brickyard. And then we got some other races coming up, too. Of course, the MotoGP and all that. And the Balance will be there with you as well. Well, you might also have, I don't know if you followed the Olympics at all. I tried to watch all of the Olympics from Sochi. And, but I don't know if you had an opportunity in a hometown Indiana boy, which, by the way, hats off to Ed Carpenter talking about hometown Indiana boy. He got the pole and for 2 years in a row. Hats off to him. So we didn't give him the proper homeboy props. Homeboy. Hometown. Homeboy. Where'd that come from? Who I've been hanging around. Homeboy. Hometown props. Oh my goodness! Saturday morning, I literally am still injecting coffee into my body, but you know it is what it is. But so anyway, you may have watched the Olympics, and you may have seen a skier, and by the name of Nick Geffer, world class skier. You probably would be surprised that he's a Hoosier himself. I think it's Logansport where he's from, but certainly. Being from Indiana, he became an Olympic superstar, and we're really one of the favorites of the Olympics out in Sochi. And so, you know, I tell you what, he figured out a way to be a skier, and so, you know, just how exciting is it to watch, you know, and then there was a couple other Olympians out there, but just he's a freestyle skier, and so, you know, he's been in various different, you know, the X Games and that sort of stuff. And so it was good. And so Nick Geffer won the gold medal in Sochi, and According to him, he keeps his medal at home, back home in Indiana. Can I digress again? I see this is how exciting the Indianapolis 500 is. This is what it does to a guy. This is what it does to a guy. Back Home in Indiana is a song, and it's always sung as a tradition at Indianapolis 500 by Jim Nabors. This was his last year, and I tell you what, again, it's an Indianapolis thing. It's an IMS thing. If you've never been there, if you're not from Indiana, you don't get it. But an exciting time it was to watch Jim Nabors. You know, I still get emotional thinking about it. So I said back home to Indiana, so I had to digress. Jim Nabors, you rock. I tell you what, and you guys may know Jim Nabors as Gomer Pyle. Shazam! From Gomer Pyle and Andy Griffith show, but we know him here in Indiana from singing Back Home in Indiana. And he was also on the red carpet. Unfortunately, we weren't able to catch him. Also, we weren't able to catch Josh Kaufman, and the winner of The Voice, not necessarily sports related, but hey, it's a big party here in Indianapolis. So anyway, I did get up on the red carpet. I am back on point. No worries. I'm back on point. Nick Geffer, gold medal winner from Indiana on the gold carpet. Here's his interview.
Nick, how you doing? Tom Marcus at DNMA.com and The Balance. Well, welcome back to Indiana. Probably you never thought there would be a homecoming like this, huh?
Yeah, I mean, this is just incredible to have the support of the home state and being able to come back and really just get a lot of people excited. I never thought I'd be in this position, but this is it's really fun. This is going to be my first ever 500, so I can't wait.
What do you think about it so far?
It's awesome. I mean, the amount of people here is just crazy. I think I'm going to be a race fan from now on.
You're going to be a race fan from now on. So let me ask you this. What's going on with you now? Are you training for the next Olympics? Where's your base of operation at now, I guess?
So my base of operation is kind of all over the place, so I'm still trying to figure that out. But mainly Colorado, Oregon, California, Yeah, definitely. I'm going to be working towards the next Olympics in 2018 in Pyeongchang, South Korea. And then, yeah, just the annual contest, like the X Games and the Dew Tour that happen every year, and free skiing. And yeah, it's going to be looking forward to the future, hopefully going to go to school. So.
Well, you had the social media date, if you will. How did that turn out? How did you? What was your selection process? Because at this point, buddy, I don't know if you know this, you're not going to have a problem getting a date at any time.
Well, it was really fun. I picked this girl named Annie Rogers from Talmadge, Ohio, about 30 minutes away from Akron. And we went to New York City for a couple of days and went to a Broadway play and a couple of sports games, a Rangers game, a Mets game, and went to dinner. I mean, it was really fun. She's really cool.
So. You still stay in touch with her?
Yeah, definitely. You know.
Are you guys an item?
What was that?
Are you guys an item?
Not currently.
Not currently, anyway. Well, wish you best of luck. Hey, can I get a quick picture of you?
Yeah.
I should have this ready. I'm so sorry.
There you have it. Oh, I did get a picture of that. I probably should have edited that out. You know, all in a hurry and all in a haste. But I was out on the red carpet at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Well, I got one more interview for you, and this one was kind of cool. And he was also cool enough to do what we call in the radio world a tag for me. And so what I thought I would do, a little bit different on the format of these interviews, I thought I'd play the tag and then play the interview. I've been speaking of Dwayne Allen of the Indianapolis Colts. Can I say he's a big boy? You know, I've interviewed several NFL players, but when you're standing there next to him, it's like you have really do not understand how big these guys are. Wow. And you watch them on TV and you just, no wonder these guys barrel over people. I'm going to tell you what, unbelievable. This guy's like 6'4", maybe 6'3", but he's up there. I'm 6'1", he towers over me. All muscle, 265 pounds, from Fayetteville, North Carolina. The Colts drafted him in the third round back in 2012. He come out of Clemson, and he's really made a mark. And, you know, and certainly he does what a tight end does. And that is kind of fill some holes, and a lot of times tight ends are blocking. You know, Peyton Manning brought Dallas Clark's tight end position to a wide receiver type position, and certainly that slot opening. You know, it's football talk. We're gonna get into that. We have our own OTR, our organized team OTA. Is that what it is? OTA. I'm sorry. OTAs. That's right. We have our own OTAs. I said OTORs, but we'll call it routine. We have our own organized training routine there for the balance. How about that? Guys, you're listening to The Balance. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente, 917-8095-16. If you want to get in the conversation, I'm going to play this one more interview from Dwayne Allen, and he's going to do a tag for you, and because you're going to be hearing it a lot, by the way, here on The Balance, especially as we move into the football season. We're going to take a break, and we're going to get back. We'll talk about a little bit more, just a few more storylines from the Indianapolis 500, talk about this MotoGP, talk about Courtney Force. And then talk about some NASCAR out in Dover. Here's Dwayne Allen on the red carpet.
This is Dwayne Allen with the Indianapolis Colts. You're listening to The Balance.
Dwayne, Tom Mark with IndianMay.com and The Balance. How are you doing? Welcome to Indianapolis. Welcome to Indianapolis. What do you think?
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it. I've been here for a couple of years, but this is my first day, first time at the race, so I guess that's appropriate.
What's it feel like to be at the Indianapolis 500 for the first time?
It's a really cool event. To see all the people, you hear about it before, but whenever you're amongst them, it's very overwhelming, but in a good way.
So what do you think about this year? Is it going to be a good year for you guys?
It should be a great year for us. We'll see how the team comes together in training camp. Pray that everyone stays healthy. Last year we were bit by the injury bug and had a lot of guys, including myself, go down. But God willing, we stay healthy. We should have a great year.
Can I get you to say?
Take you to the top. I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana Water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
You know, after a long day here at the Balance Radio Studios, one of the things I like to do most is just to sit back, relax, and enjoy a nice cigar and a great cocktail. One of my favorite places to do that is Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mike and Tom have the setup for you there. I'm going to tell you what, they've got a walk-in humidor, cigars, pipes, tobacco, the way you like it. You like it mild, they got it for you. You like it strong and bold, they got something for you. They got a fully stocked bar with local drafts, a very relaxing lounge, a full service kitchen with a delicious menu, monthly cigar tasting events. You can play Golden Tee for free. Bring your laptop, relax with a nice cigar and the cocktail the way you like it. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mr. B's Cigar Box is the place you want to go to unwind. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Very easy to find. 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. That's 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. 317-272-6900. The guys out at Mr. B's Cigar Box are waiting for you. What are you waiting for?
This was a fast hour. We got 30 minutes left in race talk. You know, we could probably fit. You know, I have said if we have tossed around here at the Balance staff and the Balance team about adding another hour, because we're getting to that point where we're growing so fast. You know, from aspects of radio shows go, we've been around for a while, guys. Yes, remember, and I tell you what, if you want to just go to the iTunes or our website, you can hear all of our archives. You can go all the way back and hear us in the podcast world. That's right. Well, you know, we still, by the way, all of our shows are podcasts, by the way. We do everything podcast. So if you download it on podcast, you're going to hear the show. A lot of shows edit and just do highlights for their podcasts. Our podcast is the show. So pretty awesome, I think. So we're growing. But I keep saying that we've just got, especially during racing season, the problem is, you know, there's so many logistics with affiliates. It's a lot of people don't understand all that goes into a 2-hour radio show. I mean, it really does keep you busy. I love doing this. And, you know, we are growing, and certainly the opportunities are there. And by the way, if you want to jump on board as a sponsor of the Balance, we've got some opportunities there. So just shoot me an email, tom@thebalanceonline.com, and say, hey, I want to sponsor your show. You sound great. Or you sound like crap. I want to make it sound better. That's probably it. You know, we appreciate all the listeners that we have across the nation, and we do have a good package for our sponsors. So if that's something that you want to do, send me an email at tom@thebalanceonline.com, and we'll get you set up with some good sponsorships, goodies, and stuff that we give all of our sponsors. And I'll tell you what, you know, one quick sales plug here. You're not going to get the kind of coverage that you get with the Balance. So there you go. Well, you know, because we're going to be talking some more NASCAR here soon, in just a few minutes. But I want to talk about something else at the Indianapolis 500 I thought was pretty awesome. And that was Kurt Busch doing the double and racing. And really what that means is he raced in the Indianapolis 500 and turned around and left the track on the Indianapolis 500 and went to the Coca-Cola 600. And that is a task. And, you know, we've had different people on this show talk about that very, very task on the way here. I mean, on the way to the race, on getting geared up for the race. There's a lot that goes in with that. First of all, do you realize he has to have IVs from Indianapolis to North Carolina? You know, and I'll tell you, we had a few guests right here on the balance, on our race show, 33 cars, our special that we do every year on the Saturday before the race, talk about being who the Rookie of the Year might be. And certainly we had some people in mind, it was brought up. So, hey, I think Kurt Busch is actually going to be, and I tell you what, I think it was Matt Hicks that said that as well. Kurt Busch is going to be the Rookie of the Year. So what a whirlwind month to begin with. I mean, you got to get ready for a NASCAR race because that's what you do full time. And then, you jump in, on board with an IndyCar. And you get ready for the 500 and open wheel racing and stock car racing or NASCAR racing are two different animals, two different worlds. So you got a whole different feel going on. So you know, at the end of the day, Kurt Busch wins the Rookie of the Year award at the Indianapolis 500, and you know it was. You know, it was probably not the best performance that you would want from a race car driver. You know, his two race day, it ends with a blown engine, and he didn't really do so well. And it just, you know, as far as that goes, an engine failure cut his run short at the NASCAR race. But he was sixth in the Indianapolis 500 in the top 10. And like I said, earned the Rookie of the Year honors at the awards banquet that happened on Monday night. You know what? I'm gonna hats off to Kurt Busch because we all know him from the stock car world. He has a bit of a temper, a bit of a mouth on him. He's gotten him in trouble with some sponsors before. In fact, in all reality, he probably should have been removed from a car a long time ago. But that said, he came here to the Indianapolis 500 and treated it with the respect that it deserved. And you could tell how emotional he was in trying to accept that award. And so basically he went through and told the story about how 2 years ago, again, his career was at a crossroads, and a guy that probably nobody's heard of by the name of Roger Penske, right? He lost his ride with Roger Penske. I'm sorry, after the 2011 season. But Michael Andretti saw something different in him, and you know that's what I like about some of these owners. They see something. We talk about that with Sam Schmidt. They see something in a driver that maybe as fans we don't see, maybe other owners don't see. He actually said, kind of in a cross jest, hey, you know that Indy 500 thing, I'd like to try that out sometime. Michael Andretti said to Kurt Busch, kid, you can come race with me anytime. So that's kind of how it all unfolded. And so good storyline there with the Indianapolis 500. Of course, we know Ryan Hunter-Reay won the Indianapolis 500 in probably the closest finishes of all time. Unbelievable, crazy, crazy, crazy finish. And so there you have it. And, you know, we could go on and on and on and on about the Indianapolis 500, but it is time to get up there in Detroit because there's two races. There's a race today and a race tomorrow. And so qualifying for, you know, it's going on right now. Elio Castroneves is up there at the top. My man Hinchcliffe right there. You're talking about rookies. Jack Hawksworth is right there in third. And Michael Conway, of course, is a road course. And as you know, that's an Ed Carpenter car. He's in the fuzzy car. And Mike Conway is going to be drives the road courses, and Ed Carpenter drives the oval. And then Ryan Briscoe in fifth at qualifying. And then Juan Pablo Montoya is right there as well. That's your top six at qualifying out there at Detroit Belle Isle. Kind of a cool racetrack. It's a racetrack that's kind of been around for a while, and maybe there's some work that needs to be done on the track, but it's a neat track. It really does give you that old European look, I guess. That's where I was going for, like a Monte Carlo type look. So it's kind of neat. What's been going on in practice here in just an overall practice lead, Simon Patajon has been hitting speeds at 108.950. A little bit different, right, than the Indianapolis 500. The road courses are a little bit different. Mike Conway, 108.859. Elio Castroneves, 108.856. Will Power, 108.606. Ryan Hunter-Reay, 108.229. Scott Dixon, 108.116. Tomoko Soto, 108.045, and the mayor of Hinchtown, James Hinchcliffe, 108.015, Ryan Briscoe, 107.839, and Graham Rahal. What the heck happened to Graham Rahal at the Indianapolis 500? I don't know. I did see him the night before the race. He wouldn't talk to me, though. He was riding around in a golf cart, stopped with his dad, but that's okay. Okay, so there you go. The boys from IndyCar are up in Dover at the Dover. See, I'm getting up in Detroit at the Belle Isle. Right. Okay, you know, there's a lot of races going on. That's okay. We'll talk about it. You know, but I wanted to talk a little bit, so we don't want to steal all the thunder, but I wanted to talk a little bit about Courtney Force, who won the 100th. Now, check this out. Won the 100th NHRA win by a female driver. So less than a week after really a roller coaster ride of making history, Courtney Force, after winning on Sunday, Force beat Cruz Pregan in the Funny Car Final in the NHRA Kansas Nationals at Heartland Park, Topeka. It was the 100th event to win by a woman in NHRA history, extending a tradition of victories by female drivers that began with Shirley Maloney in 1976. Force was clocked at 4.148 seconds in her John Force Racing Ford Mustang, while Pettigrew was clocked at 4.225 seconds. There's just a lot of emotion right now, Force said. It's been a long weekend. I'm so proud of my guys, and I'm happy for this win and for all the girls out there. Girl power, right? And you know who her boyfriend is? That's right. IndyCar driver Graham Rahal has been dating Miss Courtney Force since October. He tweeted a congratulations to his girl hours after his disappointing run at the Indianapolis 500. Come on, guys, stick with me on this. I know that there's that girl power going on, and you know that deep down he's happy for her. But come on, nobody. And I'm sorry, you could say what you want. It might make for some funny ha ha jokes to get beat by a girl, especially your girlfriend. Not beat in the same race, but there was probably a little bit like, oh man. My girlfriend's got to show me up on the national stage, huh? Now, congratulations to Courtney Force. I've been told, and we are going on what I've been told, that she will be here on the balance this coming up Saturday. So this time next week, we'll either be talking to Courtney Force or we've already talked to Courtney Force. So excited about that. Like I said, she's No, stranger, and you talk about my favorite as a fan in racing, different racings that I have. In the NHRA is Courtney Forrest, and I've interviewed her in person, and she's just a fun girl to talk to. Of course, she was in the Body magazine with ESPN, and we talked with John Forrest about that. We talked with her sister Ashley about that, so we have not talked to her about that. So I think we're going to probably not talk very much about that. We might just slightly mention it. But Graham, I'm going to tell you what, dude, you got yourself a babe, don't you? And you already know that, right? Oh man, it must be rough to have, to be Graham Rahal. And, anyway, so his tweet was, "I'm so proud of a girl at Courtney Forrest's 100th female win at the NHRA. Couldn't happen to a better, more hardworking woman out there. Love you, babe." Aw, isn't that sweet? Graham Rahal tweets that out. But you know what? He is right. It couldn't happen to a better, more hardworking woman out there. And she comes by it naturally. Very naturally. when your dad is John Forrest, You dang well better believe you're going to have some work ethic. And, well, when your dad's Bobby Rahal, you know, that's, I mean, it's cool. It's cool. So, so I'm excited for Courtney Forrest, and I'm excited to have her on the show next week, right here on The Balance. At least that's what I've been told by her people, your people, their people, my people. I made a comment last night. I said, it would make it so easy, much easier, if I could just say, "Courtney, can you come on the show, yes or no?" But that's okay. You know, yeah, I appreciate all my producers and everything they do for us and all of our PR people. Because believe it or not, there's no way we could pull this off without them. So congratulations. All right, guys. You know, this just came across my desk here this morning. I kind of want to talk about this, and we're going to get into the Dover NASCAR race, but this is going to be my segue into NASCAR. So, do you remember, and I wish that I had gotten this earlier in the week, I would have pulled some sound bites from that, but you could go and listen to it in the archives. Do you remember last year, a conversation with Walter Cox from ESPN? Do you also remember a conversation that I had with some other NASCAR people who are actually in the cars, drivers, that sort of thing? Do you remember me talking to them about Jeff Gordon and saying, "Is this it for Jeff Gordon? Is he going to retire?" Everybody says, "Absolutely not." Well, could it be that El Presidente, your leader here on The Balance and in the sports world, could it be that I made a forecast of the future back when Jeff Gordon's back better this weekend, supposedly? The number 24, Jeff Gordon, certainly a Hall of Fame driver. Am I saying that Jeff Gordon is a bad driver, should drive? Hell no. He's a great driver. He's a Hall of Famer, probably one of the best to ever get in the car. But come on, man, it's time for him to cut it short. It's probably time for Tony Stewart as well. But anyway, I had to cut happy hour short at Charlotte last week and had Reagan Smith on standby during the race because of back spasms. He updated the media on the issue Friday at Dover. Question was, could you update us on your back and how you're feeling? Reagan Smith said he was on standby, so are we to assume that you don't have to take that measure this week? Gordon's answer, "I wouldn't say I'm 100%. I'm back closer to normal, which is just always aggravation and some discomfort. I'm still feeling some of the effects of what went on last week, but I felt good in the car. I didn't have any sharp pains, so that's a good thing. I just had a week of rest and normal activity. Lots of ice this week. I was pretty sore on Monday and Tuesday after that long 600, and that's totally not unusual, but probably just a little bit more than normal because of all that I went through. So I feel good for this weekend, referring to Dover. Next question. Last week, did you think you had any physical therapy for your back? And has this make you think more about retirement? Jeff's answer. The issues that I've had in the past never really were like that, what I dealt with this last weekend. This is the first time that something like that happened in the car. On qualifying and into race weekend, I've rolled out of the bed and had things happen like that, but that's just being tight and not having muscles and blood flow like they're supposed to. It's part of getting older. So it was a little foreign to me to have that, and that's why I had to get out of the car. The treatment that I had was an epidural as well as another type of injection. I don't know what they call it. It's some type of cortisone that the family is typical in, cortisone family and typical common. I don't know all the different stuff. So we're going to go all the way down here to where he finally answers the question. So what's the biggest thing I'm focused on right now is anything else is the 24 car. I can tell you that if it happens many more times, I won't have a choice. He's referring to retirement. Can I say it? Can I say it? Please, let me say it. I told you so. It is time for Jeff Gordon to retire. Tony Stewart is too, but he's a hard-headed mule. He ain't going to retire. He's coming back from broken leg. He's going to get in the car. He'll probably drive a car with a broken leg. He has. And, you know, certainly, don't take this the wrong way, fans. I am not saying that I hope Tony Stewart dies in a car. But that's the only way you're going to get Tony Stewart out of a car. Forever. Well, there you go. Jeff Gordon, going to retire? This question's still being asked, but I predict the answer. This will be the last year. I'm going to say it again officially right here on The Balance. Mark it down. May the 31st, 2014. Somebody write that down because we're going to go back later on this year or next year and pull the archives and play the soundbite that El Presidente told you on May the 31st. 2014, 9:57 a.m. Eastern, Jeff Gordon retires at the end of the season. Let's see if I'm right, okay? Right? But you know what? Jeff Gordon has had a great career. And just life, you know, you in any sport, you can't do it forever. But there's a lot of people that are young, and Jeff Gordon, I'm sure, remembers when he was a young driver. Remember young drivers by the name of Jimmy Johnson? Certainly all of the – remember young drivers by the name of Tony Stewart? Here's another name that you need to remember, Joey Logano. I like Joey. I got a picture of him somewhere. I'm going to have to post it up on social media, me and him standing there. And that was when he was just in the nationwide race last – I think it was last year out here at Brickyard, out there at the trailer. And I was in his trailer there. Pretty cool picture with him. Joey Logano, that's the new young blood. And I tell you what, there's talk that he can actually tie the nationwide record at Dover. Joey Logano is a pretty freaking awesome driver, and this Monster Mile is really brings out the best in every driver, right? Or the worst, for that matter. Logano has won 4 consecutive series races at the Monster Mile and goes for a 5th Saturday in the Buckle of 200. That's today, qualifying 10:40. About a little less than an hour. And then the race is at 2:30 today. If Logano wins, he'll tie a nationwide series record for consecutive victories at a track, joining Jack Ingram, Dale Earnhardt, Jack Ingram in South Boston, Dale Earnhardt Daytona, and Kyle Busch at Texas. To be in that group that has won 5 races in a row at a racetrack would be an honor for that to be there, Logano said. It is definitely my favorite track. So we'll see. Joey Logano, you rock, man. I appreciate, you know, and we've had some interviews with him. He's actually been on the show before. He's called in before, but, you know, it's kind of cool to see some of these young drivers come up and you know, really be ready to fill great shoes like Jeff Gordon and Tony Stewart. dare we say Danica Patrick? You know, she's kind of been out of the spotlight here recently. We miss Danica Patrick and you know, talking about Danica Patrick here on the show.
Her ass is so hot. I've seen it cause traffic accidents.
You know, you either love or hate Danica Patrick, and you either love or hate her. And to my knowledge, she's still dating Ricky Stenhouse Jr. I mean, to my knowledge, anyway. So she'll be at Dover. Of course, she's one of Tony Stewart's girls, meaning race driver. So she'll be out there, Danica Patrick. Unbelievable.
Her ass is so hot, I've seen it cause traffic accidents.
Well, so we'll see. You know, we never stop talking about Danica Patrick, the GoDaddy girl. Well, actually, she's not even in GoDaddy. She's doing part GoDaddy and part this dental place that she's. But we'll see. She qualified fourth and showed speed in the opening segments of Coca-Cola's 600 last week at the Charlotte. 2 weeks earlier, she had a career best at Kansas Speedway. A week before that, Stuart Haas Racing, Danica Patrick driver led six laps at Talladega, getting shuffled to 22nd in the final showdown. The thing about is Danica, she causes more wrecks. You know, Isha could put that on the Bush brothers, but she causes more wrecks. So interesting to see what happens out there at Dover. And certainly BK, Brad Kolaski, he's going to have it his way out there at Dover. Certainly they're doing the practice right now. And Brad is hitting speeds at 159.702. Kevin Harvick, Carl Edwards, 158.856. Brian Vickers, 158.716. Matt Kenseth, 158.513. Dale Earnhardt not on the track right now. Clint Bowyer, 158.339. Marcus Ambrose, 158.304. And Jimmy J. Johnson, 158.242. And Tony Stewart Smoke, 157.971. That's your top 10. And then my favorite driver in NASCAR, Ryan Newman, 157.867. I tell you what, it's going to be a good race. So we'll see what happens. It's always a good race out there at the Monster Mile. And, you know, we'll see what happens. We'll see you do know that the world as we know it will come to an end if Danica gets a win, whether it be Dover or wherever it is. Everybody stops for Danica. Everything stops for Danica if she was to pull off a win. I don't think it's going to happen. Honestly, you know, I like BK in this race. Jeff Gordon typically does very well in this race. But based on what we just had, our conversations about Jeff Gordon, I don't see it's going to be him. But actually, my pick, and you heard it right here because I know everything, and I am El Presidente, and I can tell you what's going to happen. Dale Jr. is going to win the Monster Mile. This is his year, and it possibly his year for a NASCAR championship. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. Yes, that's it, guys. No more race talk. Actually, I'm kidding. We'll talk racing if you want to talk racing. Well, I have got to take a clear-my-throat voice and get ready for some NBA talk, because I got some screaming to do, boys. We'll be back.
Every time you take a sip in this smoky atmosphere, you press that bottle to your lips, and I wish I was your beer.
Hi, I'm
I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
You know, after a long day here at the Balance Radio Studios, one of the things I like to do most is just to sit back, relax, and enjoy a nice cigar and a great cocktail. One of my favorite places to do that is Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mike and Tom have the setup for you there. I'm going to tell you what, they've got a walk-in humidor, cigars, pipes, tobacco, the way you like it. You like it mild, they got it for you. You like it strong and bold, they got something for you. They got a fully stocked bar with local drafts, a very relaxing lounge, a full-service kitchen with a delicious menu, monthly cigar tasting events. You can play Golden Tee for free. Bring your laptop, relax with a nice cigar and the cocktail the way you like it. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mr. B's Cigar Box is the place you want to go to unwind. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Very easy to find. 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. That's 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. 317-272-6900. The guys out at Mr. B's Cigar Box are waiting for you. What are you waiting for?
I'm J.B. Bernstein. I'm a sports agent.
Hey.
Who's that?
She's my neighbor. Not my type.
Why? Because she's not a model.
Yeah, stay away from that.
Right now, I'm on the verge of a huge break.
Without this deal, we're done. What's going on here? Don't tell me you signed a contract with these guys.
It's just business.
And guess what? We're out of money. I mean, I don't know what else to do, J.B.
Hey, how fast are they pitching cricket? I think I cracked this.
It's called Million Dollar Arm. We find the first Major League Baseball player from India.
Like being on the road?
Words cannot express.
Ray, how are you going to know if anyone can throw if you keep your eyes shut all day?
I can hear it.
Really?
Ah. That was about a 43.
Bingo.
We have our finalists.
Welcome to America, boys.
Okay. All right, guys.
Who is that? Is she a servant? She's a beautiful servant.
We can't train somebody who has never picked up a baseball. It's insane.
Okay, so how's it going?
Baseball is very hard.
This is Major League Baseball, not some social experiment.
You're not ready for this kind of pressure.
This is business.
It'll be a sideshow.
These guys are not ready for a pro tryout.
Their chances fall between slim and none.
Are you okay?
These kids, they're my last best shot.
But they're also just a couple of great kids. Kids. I mean, they're far from home. They need to see that you care.
Wow.
This whole alternative family thing looks good on you.
Excuse this, partner. Boom.
We've got a major league tryout.
Are you messing with us?
No, I'm not messing with you. You got a tryout. All right, go ahead. Say it.
Did you kiss Miss Brenda?
No. She kissed me.
Oh!
Yes, sir, sorry. Okay. Hi, this is Frank Bogle, head coach of the Indiana Pacers, and you're listening to The Balance.
Steve Austin, astronaut. A man barely alive. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's first bionic man. Steve Austin will be that man. better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster.
$6 million man. Maybe we should call it the $6 billion man. Man, you know what? I get in this these rhythms. And by the way, welcome back to The Balance. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. What a great first hour. If you missed it, you can catch it on the archives. And of course, on our encore episode on Indiana Talks. And if you're currently listening to us on Indiana Talks, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Well. What to talk about now? Is there anything out there? Anything maybe might be going on? 917-889-8516. Of course, you could tell the sarcasm in my voice because you know what I'm leading up to. That's right. Don't get ahead of me. Let me wait for it. Donald Sterling back in the news in the NBA. Okay. Where do we go with this? There's so many directions that we can go with Donald Sterling. First of all, let's say this. If anybody offers me, as much as I love you guys and I love hosting this show, and, you know, El Presidente, because I own the rights to this show, and so don't you go out there and start using my show and calling it your own, because I'll sue you and make all kinds of money. All of that said, if anybody in this world wants to come up to me right now and give me $2 billion for the balance, deal. Where do I sign? Would not even come in question. Well, because it would be an insane profit for me. Come on now. I mean, come on. I could redo a whole new show pretty nicely for $2 billion. Just saying. So, as we know, bring you up to speed, because I know our minions have busy lives, and they smoke a lot of pot, and they forget things. What? It's legal now, right? I don't smoke pot. I don't endorse smoking pot. I'm just saying I know my minions do smoke pot. Right? Especially our minions in Denver. Get me on pot smoking. Pot smoking in the balance. All right, refocus here. So, Donald Sterling, a few weeks back, as you know, we had some pretty in-depth conversations about Donald Sterling and his racist, stupid comments. We had guests on the show. We talked about it. We talked it to death. Here's the thing. I don't know that he really did anything, in my opinion, that warranted him getting kicked out of the NBA. Come on now. Let's be real. Let's be real with each other. It's not right for one race to be racist. It's not right for black people to be racist. It's not right for white people, Hispanics, Chinese. It's not right. But it's a fact of life. And I wonder if LeBron James, and certainly he hasn't made comments like this that I know of, or maybe he did and it's just not been made public. But let's say LeBron James said, you know, want white people. I don't want Whitey coming to the games. Would he be kicked out of the NBA? Or was it because it was a rich, old, white man that merely asked his gold-digging girlfriend, who he bought a Ferrari for, had on a payroll as some sort of a special assistant with a salary of $200,000 a year, $2 million condo, plus jewelry and all kinds of stuff that amounted to millions. His very, very, very public mistress. Okay, that's his personal life choices. So he says to said mistress, I don't care if you sleep with the black guys. I don't care if you run around them. But don't bring them to my games. That's basically it. I mean, that's maybe not the exact thing that he said. And maybe in 2014, that's not something that you say at all. So let's agree that I am saying that that was wrong. I'm also saying that Donald Sterling comes from an error. You got to remember, he's from a not only a different era, a different generation, but a different look on society than we have. So he makes these comments. He's kicked out of the NBA. Now a business that he's built, they're going to force him to sell. Okay, all of that said, now you have bought the team for like $12.5 million. So you buy the team for $12.5 million. Any business person out there will tell you that a offer of $2 billion to buy your company after you bought it for $12.5 million is a sick, insane, obscene profit margin. And it doesn't take a college degree, even though I do have one in finance, marketing, communications. I wouldn't need a college education to figure out the profit margin on that is insane. So that was offered to Donald Sterling, $2 billion with capital B. However, Los Angeles Clippers owner, or we'll say co-owner, because it's owned in part by the trust and by the wife, and I don't know. Nonetheless, he's the owner. It is the owner. But to be technical and to cover our legal bases, Los Angeles Clippers co-owner, Donald said Friday, he wasn't going anywhere. In fact, NBA, here's my attorneys. You've been summoned. $1 billion. You know what? I'm no attorney. But he's got a damn good case. I have not read all the bylaws of the NBA, I'll be honest with you, and neither have you. I can go on information that's provided to me. And I don't necessarily mean information from TMZ or any other paparazzi outlet. I'm talking about information that's been provided by the NBA. Okay, we have to go on a couple of things here. But I have not seen the bylaws. You would think that Donald Sterling and his attorneys, before ever buying the team, by the way, for $12.5 million. See, this is all just unreal to us average Americans that go to work every day, you know, take care of our families, drink a little beer on the weekend, watch sports. You know, listen to a great sports talk show called The Balance and live our lives. This is all out of the realm to wrap our minds around. These numbers just seem like a lot to us, probably not a lot to them. But nonetheless, you would think Donald Sterling said, I'm going to read the bylaws. I can live within this. Now, there's two sides to every coin. According to the NBA, they had every right to do what they did. And they have every right to force him to sell it. According to the bylaws, according to their governing laws, they have every right to do that. So, on the other hand, Donald Sterling says he didn't violate any NBA laws. And that Adam Silver had no right to ban him from the league and fine him $2.5 million. So Donald Sterling has said, you can't do it. I'm suing you for $1 billion. Doesn't that sound like something you'd say when you were kids in the playground? I'm going to sue you for $1 billion. I bet you $1 billion he doesn't make that shot. Unreal. Sterling and his fleet of lawyers say it's unconstitutional. To say that he's a breach of contract. So they've actually, there's just so much claims that they're making within the NBA. I mean, with the lawsuit to the NBA. Let's talk about another question. We're going to get into the Pacers and the Heat, and you know we're going to see what happened there, and we'll talk about the NBA and the NBA Finals. Well, let's talk about a couple things here. Let's talk about Donald Sterling's mental capacity. It certainly wouldn't be out of reason to believe that a man of the age of Donald Sterling has Alzheimer's or signs of Alzheimer's or dementia. But that's the claim. Or at least the reports. Of course, his attorneys saying that the report stating that Sterling is mentally incompetent are absurd. Sterling's wife, also Shelley, agreed to that on Thursday. No, I'm sorry. Sterling's wife, Shelley, agreed on Thursday to sell the team to former Microsoft CEO Steve Ballmer for $2 billion. $2 billion. This whole thing is just crazy to me. What are your thoughts on Donald Sterling? You want to chime in on this conversation? 917-889-8516. It's just nuts. So, well, we'll see. You know, one thing for sure is this story is not going away. God, do I wish it would. You know, we could banter back and forth about how wrong he was for what he said. And maybe I'm taking the rich white man's point of view in that, let's point out, first of all, I'm white, but I'm not rich. By no stretch. But let's say I'm taking that point of view. It's a point of view. I'm not saying that the comments he made were wrong, were right. They were wrong. And certainly maybe, you know, the fine of $2.5 million was well justified. You can't say stuff like that. And perhaps even a ban of a season or a year or 2 year, whatever. But you cannot force, in a capitalistic society, you cannot force, no matter what color they are, or how old they are, or how much money they have, you cannot force, unless they're breaking some laws. He didn't break any laws here. He broke the law of public opinion, perhaps. But he certainly didn't do anything illegal from the aspects of business operations. So, not the NBA, not the U.S. government, nobody has the right, certainly not President Obama, doesn't have the right to say that you have to sell your business. That right's not there. And I think we need to tread very, very, very carefully in this. So you know what? From that aspect, if he's suing the NBA, mentally competent or not, if he's suing the NBA that says, hey, I have every right to own this business and I didn't break any of your laws, then good. I mean, he has every right to do that. Like I go back and forth on this. Granted, you may not have to force sell my sale. You may not have to force that. But my God, you offer me that kind of money with that kind of a profit margin? Let's go back to business. So at this point, I think it's about principle. I think it's about the fact that I'm not going to be bullied to do something that I shouldn't have to do. So from that, it makes sense. I see both sides of the coin. Let's stop talking about that on Sterling. Let's get into some Pacers and NBA Eastern Conference Finals, Miami Heat, and the NBA and the Pacers. Well, I'm going to stop teasing about it, and I'm going to start talking about it. The Pacers, Frank Vogel, Larry Bird, Miami Heat, LeBron James, the NBA Finals. I'm going to stop teasing you because I'm just such a tease, right? Well, what we're going to do is we're going to take a break. That's right, dramatic pause here. We're going to take a break and we're going to get into the conversation of the Pacers, the Heat. Did the Pacers make it past the Heat? Did the Pacers beat the Heat? Well, we're going to find out right here on the Balance Radio Network when we get back for our final segment of today's show right here on the Balance. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. Bye. See my pride and joy.
Hello, this is Mark Timmons of Timmons Water Systems, 728 East Main Street in Brownsburg, and we invite you to come out and check out our salt and bottled water drive-thru that we have where we'll load the water right into your trunk or salt right into your trunk. You don't even have to get out of your car. But while you're there, if you want to check out and see how we can fix your bad water, like iron, sulfur, rotten egg smell, hardness, bad tasting water, ask us how we can fix your water at a minimal cost. Give us a call at 852-3005 or check us out on the web at wefixbadwater.com.
You know, after a long day here at the Balance Radio Studios, one of the things I like to do most is just to sit back, relax, and enjoy a nice cigar and a great cocktail. One of my favorite places to do that is Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mike and Tom have the setup for you there. I'm going to tell you what, they've got a walk-in humidor, cigars, pipes, tobacco, the way you like it. You like it mild, they got it for you. You like it strong and bold, they got something for you. They got a fully stocked bar with local drafts, a very relaxing lounge, a full service kitchen with a delicious, delicious menu, monthly cigar tasting events. You can play Golden Tee for free. Bring your laptop, relax with a nice cigar and the cocktail the way you like it. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mr. B's Cigar Box is the place you want to go to unwind. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Very easy to find. 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. That's 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. 317-272-6900. The guys out at Mr. B's Cigar Box are waiting for you. What are you waiting for?
Peter! You just pooped all over the bed.
When you poop in your dreams, you poop for real.
ready to feel the noise right here on The Balance. This is the final segment of today's show. Wow, it's been fun, hasn't it? I told you at the very beginning of the show, this is the fastest 2 hours in radio. You know, a lot of shows claim it. We actually prove it. Look at how much ground we've covered. We talked about the Indianapolis 500. We talked about not all the storylines, but we talked about most of the storylines. Interviews for the red carpet. We talked about Courtney Force. We talked about NASCAR in Dover. We talked about Donald Sterling. What is left to talk about? Well, I'll tell you. We're going to talk about the Pacers. And you know, the Pacers, I'm so disappointed in. I wish that I could say something good that makes Pacer fans feel good. But quite frankly, I can't find anything. At the beginning of this year, we had the opportunity. Indiana Pacers pissed away a national championship. You can say what you want. You can say Paul George or Lance Stephenson or whoever. You can blame Larry Bird. You can blame Frank Vogel. But it doesn't really matter. At the end of the day, Miami beats the Heat. Miami Heat beats the Pacers. The Pacers did not beat the Heat. 92-117, I believe, is what the game was. Paul George decided to show up at 29 points. Lance Stephenson with 11. So what do we think about Lance Stephenson? Should he stay or should he go now, right? I guess that's a question that we're going to be asking ourselves throughout the offseason. Is he too good? Or can we live without him? Certainly, apparently, the Indiana Pacers don't believe they can live without Paul George. Look at all the money they paid him. And probably deservedly so. Well, but Lance Stephenson, honestly, I think he's a good fit for the Pacers. I think Larry Bird needs to set him down and get him in check, which he's attempted to do. Lance Stephenson says he loves Indiana. I don't know, just his antics horsing around like this is just the two teenage boys playing around and horsing around and joking and toking or whatever. Come on, let's get serious here. You're on the brink of elimination. You're blowing in the ears. You're putting your hand over mouths. I have a lot of respect for LeBron James. Well, you don't have much respect for the game. You don't have much respect for the fans. Honestly, I think Lance Stephenson is a good Pacer. I think he should stay right here in Indianapolis. But the boy's got to grow up. Come on. And he probably could have hurt his free agent value. You know, when the boss tells you to cool it, I think it's time for you to cool it. Larry Bird, after game 5, his message, cool it. Of course, we know Larry Bird is one of the greatest basketball players of all time. Has he been the greatest president of the Indiana Pacers? There's been some choices there that he's made that, you know, may or may not have been good. I guess time will tell on that. I don't understand how I mean, you know, we all have bosses, whether we agree with them or disagree with them. They are put in a position of authority. Authority, not a lot of people like. Quite apparently, Lance Stephenson is one of those guys. Now, I'm not saying that Lance Stephenson's antics lost the game for the Pacers. No, that was a group effort. You know, not only for Lance Stephenson, but for the Pacers organization as a whole. Certainly, as the players go. It is time for you to stop embarrassing yourself. Embarrassing the fans of Indiana, of Indianapolis. You know, there was a time, and I remember those times, and you probably do too. It wasn't too long ago, certainly deep in our not too deep in our memory, when we remember the Indiana Pacers and a brawl up in Detroit. We were called gangsters. We were called thugs. The fans quit coming in the aspect of that. It's been a long road the last couple, 3 years for the Pacers. And you finally won the trust. When I say win the trust, it doesn't mean that you have to win an NBA final and that you have to be champions. It means that you represent this city. Take a lesson from the Indianapolis Colts. Certainly not without fault. Jim Irsay getting arrested, drugs, well, controlled substance, under the influence. Maybe they were his drugs, maybe they weren't. So certainly we're not without fault. But look at the maturity of Andrew Luck, the leader of the team. Look at the culture that was put in place by the Indianapolis Colts way back when Tony Dungy stepped on the field and said, hey, no more shenanigans. You have a responsibility to the Indianapolis Colts, yourselves, me, but most importantly, you have a responsibility to the fans that spend their hard-earned money to come and watch you play. So you have a responsibility to be the most mature, professional athlete on that field. That's what the Pacers have missed in this whole mess, if you will. Well, I call it a mess because they haven't won. They didn't win. This lack of professionalism, the lack of integrity, can we use that word? Maybe, depending on your definition of integrity. Certainly one of my definitions of integrity is do the right thing when nobody else is around. But also the definition of integrity is do the right thing when people are around. You know, Bob Kravitz said it very, very good. I don't always agree with Bob Kravitz. You either love or hate him with the Indianapolis Star. I like Bob. He's been on the show before. Very good newspaper columnist here in Indianapolis. Covers the Pacers, the Colts, what have you. I think most of us read Bob's columns, it's no secret, to see his opinions. A lot of times, he has some opinions that are a little harsh. Maybe that's because he speaks the truth a lot of times. I think this is one of those times. Bob Kravitz basically says it's emotional immaturity. I'm going to read a little bit of a portion of an article from Bob Kravitz in the Indianapolis Star. When the obituary of this doomed season is written, and we started writing in the second quarter of a comically one-sided 117-92 Game 6 loss, the cause of demise will be termed as emotional immaturity. I could have said it better, Bob. I'm going to give you the props there. Bob Kravitz, the Indianapolis Star. The Pacers have to grow up. If not, every year. It may not be the Heat every year, but every year, you're not going to get past this point. We're due. You have a responsibility to your fans, most importantly, to yourself, to your team. Grow up. Grow up. Paid sick amount of money to go play a child's game. Let's face it. Not a lot's asked of you. But what is asked of you is a lot. And think about that and let it sink in. Because it does make sense. And those are El Presidente's words, by the way. So where do we go? You know, we certainly want to talk about the rest of the NBA. Because, there's some teams out there that decided that their fans matter. And there's some teams out there that get to play for their fans. For a championship. LeBron James is one of those. And LeBron James is highly overrated. I've said it before. I've said it a million times. Certainly a great basketball player, but he is highly overrated. But he has a unique ability to get in a man's head without even trying. The media has painted LeBron James out to be the next Michael Jordan. I'm not ready to put him in that category. But certainly, there's one thing that he's got going for him. The Pacers do not. Guess what? He's playing in another NBA Finals. So I guess, you know, there's really not a lot more I can say about the Pacers. You pissed away the season. The entire second half, you played like it didn't matter, like you had everything together. Well, newsflash, you didn't. And the fans are left picking up the pieces yet again because you couldn't get your act together early on and tried to do damage control late in the season and late in the series. This goes deeper than the Miami Heat loss. The fact is, you probably shouldn't have even been in the playoffs to begin with based on your performance in the second half. It's a good thing that it's based on wins and losses. Because if it was based on your ability to go out there and play basketball, you would have never made the playoffs. So the Miami Heat continues its domination of the Eastern Conference. And, yes, LeBron James. LeBron James. Ray Allen. So that's kind of the story of it, right? Miami neutralized Roy Hibbert. So, I don't know. Are the Miami Heat the next L.A. Lakers? We'll see. We shall see. I do quickly want to talk about where do you think that we will be at
As far as players, will Frank Vogel still be around? Certainly the Indiana Pacers' salaries and contracts are – there's a lot of stuff coming up here in the upcoming season. I mean, we're going to be looking at Evan Turner, Donald Sloan's option. Yeah, George Hill's going to get his $8 million. Paul George is going to get his sick amount of money. Left on his contract, $18 million going into the, $16 million going into the 2015 season. So who do we get rid of? Lance Stephenson, Frank Vogel. I think Frank Vogel's slot is there for him. So we'll see. Certainly, and one thing for sure, Paul George, LeBron James will be back next year. The question is, will it be another Pacers and Heat? We need a bench. We certainly need a bench players. Make it come off the bench and come in and play. So the Pacers don't get it together. So let's look at the playoff brackets as they stand now. Or as they don't stand, I should say. We still don't know what's going to happen with the Thunder and the San Antonio Spurs. They're out there playing ball. They're out there playing like they want it. San Antonio leads 3-2. So we're all eyes are on that the Western Conference there. San Antonio certainly played a great series, you know, taking out the Dallas Mavericks, Mark Cuban's team, the Trailblazers. Now they meet with Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City, though, they're tough. They took out Memphis, and they took out the infamous L.A. Clippers. So this NBA playoff series is not one without storylines. So we'll see. Who's your pick for the as Pacer fan, guys? As Pacer fans, let's hope that you're rooting for somebody from the West. I like Oklahoma City. These guys are due. I honestly don't think. I think the matchup, what everybody in media and what everybody wants to see is the Heat and the San Antonio Spurs. Apparently, that's going to get us a TV rating of a gazillion viewers, right? Or have we all tuned out now that the Pacers and the Heat are over? Even on the national scale, it was getting some pretty good numbers. So, we'll see. Yeah. Can I say this, though? I promise you, I'm going to get off my Pacer. I'm going to get off my Pacer soapbox. I promise you that. Let's say one more thing. I'm glad, honestly, I'm glad that the Pacers are done. I get to a point last night where I didn't even want to watch the game anymore. Indianapolis Indians were out there playing for their fans. Doing a heck of a job of it. But maybe as a city, we need to realize that we have a basketball team that can't play as a team. They don't care about us as fans. Is that true? It's not up to us to prove to the Pacers that we're fans. It's up to the Pacers to prove to the city of Indianapolis and the state of Indiana that we deserve to be, that we should be fans. Give us a reason. And I'm not talking about winning a national championship. I'm talking about playing as a team and stop embarrassing the city. All right. Got just a little bit more time left. And you know what? It is time for the iPod Shuffle. So you know what? On the iPod Shuffle, they give you the rules of the game here. For the next 5 minutes, we get to talk about whatever news story is out there. Whatever sports story is out there. Beer pong, you want to talk about it. Baseball? We get some baseball stuff we can talk about in the iPod Shuffle. Whatever. Just throw me the WTF stories, crazy sports stories, anything in sport you want to talk about. 50 Dance, if you missed the hot corner, I went on a rant about him. You want to talk about that? We can do that. It is time for the iPod Shuffle. iPod Shuffle. Nothing like ending iPod Shuffle with Alligator Pie, my little D&B Dave Matthews Band. Going to be here in Indianapolis out at the old Deer Creek, the old Rising, the current Clips Center here in a couple weeks. You're going to go out there and check out some Dave. Woohoo! Let's give it up for Dave Matthews. All right, iPod Shuffle on the sports world. You know what? Can we just say, I'm an IU alumni. So, you know, how about this? IU baseball tops Youngstown State 10-2. Cool, guys. Pretty cool. The only runs Indiana needed Friday night arrived with a flash of luck. With two outs and two on in the bottom of the first, Dustin Demuth blopped a Jared White pitch in between Youngstown State and right center field. It found a center slice of turf. Nonetheless, giving IU an inning lead of 3-0. But I tell you what a good game that was. If you've seen the highlights, pretty good game. So how about that? Regionals, baby, yeah. How about that? IU baseball. And you know what? Just a few years ago, I think IU baseball either won or right there at the World Series. iPod Shuffle, here's how it works. We got just a couple of minutes here left. So, you know, iPod Shuffle means that basically we just kind of just scan the globe, as they say, and see what's going on in the world of sports. So, You know, I'm trying to actually figure this out. Yeah, yes, and IU was in the College World Series last year. Why do fans do the most stupidest things? Fans, you see what happened out at the World Cup, soccer. I don't get it. I don't get it. This is an iPod shuffle, but I don't get it. What's going on in the world of sports, huh? Tweet me your, tweet me. So Aaron Rodgers says he's slimmed down but more flexible. Do you know he's gay? Remember that we were talking about Aaron Rodgers, how some story out there, it was actually ironically enough on the iPod shuffle. Apparently he's got a roommate. He says that's all it is. But I don't know. They've apparently been on the red carpet together and stuff. So we'll see. We'll see. All right. Here we go. Are you guys ready for this? Maybe. Maybe we are. Stand by. All right. So we thought we would come up with a list of some of the... You guys watch female golf? I love golf. But I'm going to tell you what. If you guys have never watched women's golf, MG, right? So in putting together the iPod shuffle, for about the next couple seconds here, the hottest golfers are Michelle Wee. Yeah, you like the Asian ones? Sophie Salando. Danielle Montgomery. That is my favorite, by the way. She is the hottest golfer out there. Maria Balakovic. Can't say her name. Don't need to know how to say her name. Hot. Smoking hot golfers. Guys, my name's Tom Marquis. It is. The Balance has been great being with you for 2 hours. We had a lot of fun. And make sure you catch us out on the Hot Corner this Thursday. Also, make sure that you catch us on the Encore episode of The Balance right here on Indiana Talks. Next Saturday, we'll be here as well. It has been so much fun hanging out with you today. It's just been you and I, but hey, we managed to happen. Next week's going to be a good show. We should have Courtney Force on with us. Remember, 14,014. We'll be trying to see if we can't hit that number. We got to go. My name's Tom Marquis. Don't drink and drive. It isn't cool. I'm out of here. Peace.
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.